Our next presentation, field performance of root knot resistant cotton varieties from Phytogen, Mustafa McPherson and his co-authors.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you today about the field performance of root knot nematode resistant cotton varieties developed by Phytogen Seed Company. Historically, there have been relatively few cotton varieties that have any resistance to the root knot nematode. The first cotton varieties with any resistance were Stonville L887 and Paymaster 1560 that had the cleave wilt 6 source for resistance. There are presently no cotton varieties on the market that have a high level of resistance to the root knot nematode. However, in 1974, there was a germplasm release, Auburn 623 R&R, developed by Dr. Raymond Shepherd and released by the USDA there at Auburn. That served as a source for resistance in our Phytogen 417 and 427 varieties. Both of these varieties are homozygous and homogeneous for those two genes for resistance. The overview of the presentation today, I'll be talking about the comparison of 427 with T-Lone soil fumigant. This experiment consisted of 6 replications of 2-row by 40-foot plots with and without T-Lone. This trial was conducted by various researchers across the cotton belt. Secondly, I'll be talking about comparison among varieties in our elite transgenic test, which consisted of 4 replications of 2-row by 40-foot plots. And finally, I'll talk about the yield potential of these varieties and the area of adaptation using university OVT data from 2013. Specifically using the tool GGE biplot. Comparing T-Lone with host plant resistance, this graph is the average gall rating at the end of the season. The data were collected this past year at St. Joseph, Louisiana by Dr. Charles Overstreet, at Clarkton, Missouri by Andrea Jones, and at Leechville, Arkansas by Dr. Travis Fuske. The rating scale was a 0 to 5, with 0 indicating no galls were observed on the roots, all the way up to 5 with severe root deformation. You have varieties across the bottom, with 427 being the highly resistant. 367 is a moderately resistant variety, and then 2 susceptible varieties, 375 and 499. The blue bars are the T-Lone treatments, and the red is the untreated. And if you look at 427 without T-Lone treatment, you can see that the level of galling is roughly the same as the susceptible varieties treated with T-Lone. In contrast, 367 untreated had a higher gall rating than the susceptible varieties with T-Lone. And of course, you see a very distinct response to T-Lone. This is the number of nematodes at the end of the season. With 427 and with 367, you see a reduction in the number of nematodes. Typically, we have seen about a 60% reduction in the number of nematodes at the end of the season with 367 and about a 90% reduction with 427. This is the yield averaged over the 3 locations. And on the susceptible varieties, you see about 150-pound yield increase in response to the T-Lone treatment. On 367, there was no response to T-Lone, so that indicates that T-Lone did not increase the yield of 367. However, at 427, the untreated yielded less. I wanted to point out that at the St. Joseph, Louisiana location, the yield was identical The differences in yield were observed at Clarkton, Missouri, and Leechville, Arkansas, where they had very high field variability, so that may have contributed to the difference you see, and the differences probably are not real. Next, I'll talk about differences among varieties. This is the average of data collected in 2012 at Leechville, Arkansas, and Portland, Arkansas. The blue bars are the gall rating. The red diamonds are the number of nematodes at the end of the season. And you can see with 367, you have a reduction in galling, a slight reduction in number of nematodes. But that difference is magnified with the highly resistant varieties, 417 and 427. You see very low galling. Oftentimes, no galls were observed with dramatically reduced numbers of nematodes at the end of the season. That trend was consistent with data collected in 2013 at Leechville, Arkansas, Clarkton, Missouri, and Shorter, Alabama. Again, that trend of lower galling and reduced nematodes was consistent over years. However, in 2013, the gall rating was slightly higher, predominantly due to the ratings at Clarkton, Missouri. There was a very high pressure there, and I did see most plants, even on 417, 427, did have at least one or a few galls, whereas at some of the other locations, it's hard to find a gall. I wanted to point out also that we have a couple of experimental lines included here. This PX3003 line number 4 also is homozygous for both genes. 3003 line number 10 is homozygous for one of the genes and segregating for the second gene. So you see there is a difference and a definite additive effect with the two genes. Now talk about the yield potential and the area of adaptation. This is a GGE biplot of 2013 University OVT data. This is completely unbiased data. This graph can overwhelm you at first, but it is very informative after you understand it. This is a principal component analysis. It breaks the interaction up to components attributable to varieties. Varieties are color-coded, and also the locations in the pink or the red. And as you go from left to right along this red line, you have increasing yield potential. So this line right here, phytogen 333, was the highest yielding variety in this study. And the G by E interaction is indicated by closeness to this red line. So the closer a variety falls relative to this red line indicates its stability. So this variety is high yielding and highly stable. And varieties that are further away from the red line are less stable, and they have a stronger G by E interaction. That interaction is not necessarily bad because you have both positive and negative interactions. The varieties interact positively with locations on the same side of the red line, indicating that they yield more at these locations than their overall average would indicate. The flip side of that is that they yield less at locations on the opposite side of the red line. If you look at the lightly colored, the pink colored locations, those are mostly north delta locations. And you can say that 417 and 427 interact positively with those environments and they yield more than their overall average would indicate. However, as compared to Georgia and Alabama, they interact negatively there and they yield less. So in summary, 417 and 427 have average yield potential, but they are better adapted to the North Delta. Again, in summary, these two varieties will be released this year and will be commercially available. We've observed that the galling of untreated 427 is equal to T-Lone treatment on the susceptible varieties, and that the number of nematodes on 427 untreated is less than susceptible varieties treated with T-Lone. And on average, we have seen about 90% fewer nematodes at the end of the season with these two varieties as compared to the susceptible chicks. The yield potential of these two varieties is very competitive and comparable to the best chicks in the North Delta. I'd like to acknowledge researchers who conducted this T-Lone trial for us. It would include Dr. Charles Overstreet with LSU, Andrea Jones at University of Missouri, Dr. Travis Foskey with University of Arkansas, Dr. Jason Woodward, Texas AgriLife, Dr. Bob Kimwright at University of Georgia, and Dr. Mike Jones with Clemson. With that, I will be glad to entertain any questions. Thank you. Any questions? Back.
Mustafa, have you carried this reduction out more than 1 year? If you grow 470 to 427 for 2 years in the same field, you just keep lowering the nematode population? Or do you wind up at some level?
The question is, do you see a consistent reduction in number of nematodes over years, or is that trend stay constant? We haven't looked at that in the field. However, back many years ago in the greenhouse, I did such a study, and I saw a consistent reduction over time, where I saw, for example, I started out with 1,000 pots, and I had enough inoculum to 100. Then I had enough inoculum to do 10, so it kept reducing. You know, any more questions?
In light of that, when you start recommending this for certain fields, are you going to recommend rotation with a more susceptible cultivar every third year, or simply these are the varieties you should grow in those fields?
The question is, do we recommend rotating these varieties out over time?
Yeah, if you get that level of population reduction, you know, is there an advantage to maintaining that cultivar over a number of years, or should we be rotating?
Well, my personal opinion on that is that there are other varieties with a higher yield potential, for example our 333, and that the 333 planted in behind 427 would see a yield response similar to a T-Lone. So you'll have a reduction in nematodes you plant the following year with a susceptible variety, and you may see a significant yield increase. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.